There was a myth the ancient scrolls of Herodotus once swore to exist, deep within the jungle mists, shrouded from the likes of men. The gods did descend, women of a warrior class, unlike any other that was cast to earth. The first to be immersed as demigods, but simply called by common tongue, the Amazons.
Hello, authors. I'm Joanne Morell, children's and young adult fiction writer and author of Short Nonfiction for Authors. Thanks for joining me for the Hybrid Author Podcast, sharing interviews from industry professionals to help you forge a career as a hybrid author, both independently and traditionally publishing your books. You can get the show notes for each episode and sign up for your free author pass over at the Hybrid Author website to discover your writing process, get tips on how to publish productively, and get comfortable promoting your books at www.hybridauthor.com.au. Let's crack on with the episode.
Hello, authors. I hope you're all keeping well in whatever part of the world you reside and listen to the podcast in. Today's interview is Rescue Ready, writing, training and preparing emergency teams with Jesse McNeely. And we chat the inspiration and personal experiences behind his guidebook, 101 Rescue Scenarios, Mines Emergency Respond 2025 edition, and why it is so critical for today's industrial emergency response teams. The interactive elements of the work, AI training and creation of imagery, Jesse's overall advice to leaders in their field or authors in general looking to utilize their skill set to give back to their departments and create and publish a guidebook, and much more. So on my author adventure this week, if you listened into last episode, I was extremely croaky and could hardly talk. I tested positive for influenza A. Me and my eldest daughter were taken out for at least about a whole week there, which wasn't fun, feeling pretty lousy. And then it kind of went into a cough and stick off. And it was just a pretty nasty way to start school holidays, really. But glad to say that we're back on the mend and back to normal. Tiny little bit nasally, that's about it. But feeling human again. I had a bit of brain fog as well, which was always a bit scary when you can't think properly, and had forgotten a few things, which I thought, oh my gosh, I'm losing it. I was excited to make a start on my tax return, but I can't actually complete it until the end of July, until the final figures are in from some various outlets I did freelance work for, which is rather annoying because, you know, I'm early for once and ready to do it. And it's like, well, hang on, you can't because other companies haven't done theirs yet. And I just assumed that July 1st, new financial year, everything had to be done, especially from, you know, established businesses. But hey ho, so that's one thing I'm going to be putting aside till the end of July. What I did do was finally make a plan, which ties in everything I'm currently doing at the moment, and I'm really happy about it. If you've been listening to the podcast, you know that I'd be very hybrid in my writing approach across projects. You know, I'm truly leaning into where I feel it wants to take me, but I've, you know, doing little bits here and there, but I finally settled on focusing on a submission for Harlequin Romance. I'm giving myself 3 months to get this together, 1 month for the storyboarding, 1 month for the drafting, and a third month for editing. And I'll see what shape the work is in for submitting after that. So it's a tight deadline, but I feel completely doable as long as I don't get sidetracked, which I can hear many of you smirking, knowing me so well. The decision not to continue with my second in series, women's fiction book, is because I'm just starting to market the writer, the hairdresser and the nurse, the first one now. And I want my focus to be on that, shift what I've already got before going down the independent publishing path again. So I'm continuing reading romance from the Harlequin imprint, and the book I'm working on is set in a vineyard, which ties in nicely with me starting my casual wine sellers position tomorrow. I'm looking forward to authentically writing about wine in the region and wrapping it all up in a rural romance bowl. Wish me luck. How hybrid are you? Being a hybrid author is about more than just publishing across traditional and indie channels. It's a mindset, a strategy, and often a necessity in today's publishing landscape. So how hybrid are you? You might be more hybrid than you realize. Do you self-publish your books, but also pitch articles to magazines or submit short stories to anthologies? Have you traditionally published one series while indie releasing another? Or maybe you're exploring revenue through speaking, teaching, podcasting, or freelance writing alongside your author brand. These are all hybrid approaches, and each one carves out a more flexible, resilient, and empowered author career. As your host, I walk this line too. I self-publish women's fiction under Zara Ellen, whilst also pursuing traditional representation. For now, romance books. In the past, young adult fiction. I freelance articles, podcast, teach, and constantly seek new creative ways to share my words with the world. It's a mix of passion and pragmatism. And no two hybrid paths look the same, as does no one's writing or publishing author adventure. So now I ask you, how hybrid are you? And how hybrid do you want to be? Tag me on socials or drop me a message through the website, joanne@hybridauthor.com. I'd love to hear about your unique journey and maybe even feature you in a future podcast episode. Thorn Creative, where beautiful websites for authors are brought to life. No matter what stage you're at with your writing, your stories deserve a dedicated space to shine. Whether you're just starting out or have a bookshelf full of bestsellers, your website is the hub of your author business, binding everything you and your books offer together. Thorn Creative can nurture all aspects of redesigning your old site or start afresh from the initial design. They can provide ongoing hosting and maintenance to marketing your books online, saving you time, money, and stress trying to wrangle your site yourself. An author website built by Thorn Creative can easily direct readers to your favorite retailers, your publisher, or simply set you up to sell to them direct. The options are endless. Thorn Creative have worked with many authors across all genres and know what goes into good, functional working author websites to sell books. Head on over to thorncreative.com.au/websitesforauthors to read author and publisher testimonials and to see what they offer and some of the sites they've created. Jessie McNeely is the founder of Rescue Connect and also mentors industrial emergency response departments. Having trained over 20,000 students with his work globally, Jessie is passionate about sharing knowledge so rescue teams can be safer, more capable, and better prepared. Jessie holds a medical science master's degree in disaster and emergency response. He has dedicated his professional life to his vocation of emergency response and rescue. Jessie has worked in 8 countries in a range of military, private security, disaster response training and leadership roles. Jessie continues to develop his industry networks so rescue workers can learn from and help each other. Welcome to the Hybrid Author Podcast, Jessie.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's nice to be here.
Oh, you're absolutely welcome. We're so thrilled to have you. You have had a seriously impressive career in your field. But today we are here to talk about your guidebook, 101 Rescue Scenarios, Mines Emergency Respond 2025 edition. You described the product as decades of hands-on experience, which clearly you have. Can you tell us what inspired you to compile this resource now? And why is it so critical for today's industrial emergency response teams?
All right, just to take a step back, I don't feel at heart like I own this information. So like all of the scenarios and this content, when I train students, what I actually say is all I am is a glorified traffic cop that regards themselves as an elite performance coach. So hopefully that makes sense to the audience. So it's one of those like imposter syndrome effects, right? The motivation has really come from being isolated is the easiest way I think I can sum it up. You're isolated on site in industrial rescue. You have limited resources and we all aspire to be the very best at what we do, or we should anyway. And over time, with you know, again, with that isolation in effect, with some sort of suboptimal cultural kind of behaviors in our industry and a few other things, it's so easy to fall off the wagon. So 101 Rescue Scenarios is part of a series of books that is currently underway. Obviously, this is released now, available on Amazon. There you go. To be an easy, quick reference guide for people on site to sort of like follow along on how to craft good training iterations so they can be more effective at their job. So it's designed to help people and guide them.
Yeah, that's amazing. And as you're flicking through, is it photographs that you've included in there, full color or?
Yeah, so I used AI to help craft these different images, and that was such an interesting journey. Some of those images, by the way, took nearly 6 hours.
Wow.
Because, you know, if you say Google, like we were talking about before, if you go to Google plane crash at a mine site, how many available images? So, you know, this is great because I own that content and I'm developing it. Some of them, I'll show you one actually just very briefly. Yeah. Personally, when I made this one, I couldn't distinguish this between a real photo and AI. Here we go. Maybe some of the viewers might call me out on this one, but I mean, I think that looks pretty realistic.
I'll put a trigger warning in. So the image is a bloody hand for those that are listening on audio.
Yeah, fair enough.
Oh, goodness. Well, yeah, we'll definitely talk about the product and how you compiled it. But pedaling back, you've spoke to 20,000 students globally. You work in these high stakes environments and things, jumped countries to countries doing this kind of stuff. How has your experience led to shape the scenarios that you've chosen for the guidebook?
That's a really good question. I've had a very mixed career. So from military, private security, including bodyguarding, high net worth individuals, getting my medical science degree in disaster and emergency response, working in places like Ukraine, other countries in the Asia Pacific region, and yeah, like doing tactical medical training over in Ukraine. A year and a half since I was there last, but I've been there 5 times in total. And that was by choice, by the way. So, and this is what I think makes my crew quite unique, where it's active participation and a willingness to go. It's not just paid work to get on a plane and, you know, I've got essentially an industry or departmental badge behind me. It's more what I call the pirate effect or the sort of contracting effect where I'll decide to go and do something and then get amongst it and learn it, adapt those skills and knowledge. So it's quite a bastardized mix of different experiences that are sort of added to the motivation to want to write this to help people.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. I'm really interested to know about all the stuff you've actually included in there and how you kind of made it. With emergency rescue response teams, I suppose with your experience, with all these different ones, the private security, the military, I'm not anybody with this background. So, I mean, there's an emergency rescue response for each of these different professions type things. So for like military and security and
I mean, there's different like operating environments in different capacities. So for example, in private security, you know, what you have is you have medics and then you have operators that, you know, essentially if required can engage with the enemy and evacuate people or respond to lots and lots of different types of situations. So, you know, you've got an industrial site, a mine site. It could also be like a major hazard facility, like a chemical plant. When we use the term industrial rescue, that's what we're actually referring to, some type of an industrial application.
Yep.
And, you know, these types of people, they have normal jobs on site. They could be a boilermaker. They could be an electrician, a plumber, a cook. And they formulate part of the emergency response team in a part-time capacity. The capacity of us is essentially as mentors and guides, which is you have an emergency service officer. There's lots of different acronyms for this, by the way, but at heart, you're an emergency service officer. Could be a dual role. You could be medically trained as well. And then, of course, you've got levels above that. My role is predominantly a relief emergency service officer and a trainer, mentor and guide to assist people on this evolution. That's where my passion actually lies, is in training and development.
So in my mind, that's probably how the guidebooks come out, like a training guide, like you said. So that's been one of the inspirations for that. You do so much. You've got your hand in a lot of different things. How long has it taken for you to get this, to compile this together, you know, from the initial idea to even having the time to write and publish it? Everybody listening, especially authors or just anyone who knows how to sit down and dedicate the time, have the discipline, have, like you said, the motivation, everything to do this. It's quite a long It's hard. It's hard for some people. So
it's
how do you think?
Yeah, thank you. It's a lot harder than I thought. And writing out the content and like, you know, I had help with AI with imagery, which was great. But like I said, you know, 6 hours on one image, you know, you're not getting paid for that. And, you know, it's pretty obvious this thing isn't going to make $3 million. That's actually not the purpose of this book. So you've got to be dedicated beyond what a reasonable person would want to put up with, because they're going to quit well before you actually have your hands on something tangible. So yeah, I think it's 20 months or 21 months before I actually committed to starting to write it. I'll have the evidence in my phone. So it's been a long journey. It's actually, interestingly, and I think the audience will appreciate this, even if they're not working in my sector, it's actually been incredibly motivating, and it's lit a passion and a fire inside me to go, you know what? I'll use a G-rated swear word. Stuff it. I'm going to crack on. I'm going to do more of these series, and we're going to keep helping people beyond what, you know, I, again, having imposter syndrome, what I think is, you know, the highest possible quality. I mean, I think this is pretty good, but any author will see flaws in their work and go, oh, that could be better. Well, just crack on with your series and make more content then.
Yeah, no, I think imposter syndrome is something that I'm familiar with, and a lot of people listening would get it as well, because even though, you know, you've got so much experience to draw upon, and this becomes almost like a labor of love. You're pouring yourself out into it, aren't you? And then you're sharing it with the world effectively for people to judge in your field. So that's where it's a bit like, oh, you know, who am I to say this or do this?
But exactly.
You know, yep. You've got a long list there to say, I'm this person. So you know what you're talking about, clearly.
I just actually want to say something there. So it's 100% agree with everything you said. That was actually a clear purpose of calling it a guidebook. I believe I've articulated myself fairly well, but it's just, you know, the purposes of the guide, how to use the guidebook, the fact that it is a guidebook and it's not a manual.
Yeah.
That was all very strategic, because I didn't want to basically say, this is exactly how you do these things. And there's 9 disciplines in that book. I'm not by any means hazmat expert. I'm a hazmat trainer, right? Yeah. So I didn't want to leave it open to that level of criticism, nor do I want to instruct people to that level of detail as well. It's to guide them through how to facilitate the structures of a scenario.
And I suppose when it comes to like emergency response scenarios and things, there might be correct procedures, but then would it depend on the actual scenario that then you're in that moment, you need to think, right, actually, it would be different each time, wouldn't it? Depending on the scenario. So you couldn't put something and say, this is how it's done every time, because it's, isn't it? Yeah.
When people identify with that, I mean, this is some of the stuff I say when I train, is like, you know, each emergency, disaster, critical incident, it's like a fingerprint. It's unique. We operate with a structured response to protocols with an open mind to see specific hazards, dangers, threats, including our threat landscape, whilst communicating under pressure, facilitating resources, you know, working with offsite resources and assistance, incident management teams, crisis management teams. Yeah, I could just go on and on, right? And that is summed up into a small ball here is operate as, and I use the term pirate again, or, you know, ninja, so to speak. Learn how to be a ninja with minimal information to be as effective as you can with the right end state in mind. Yeah. So 100%, that's exactly, you've just summed up an emergency really, really well.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you. New career, I don't think so. But
102 rescue scenarios.
Well, you said it's a series as well. So is that, what have you thought is, how many books and what's next with the topics and stuff?
There's more books that I'm willing to admit and throw myself under the bus to. That's the motivation there. But, well, yeah, one that's currently underway, it's around about a third complete. It's a lot shorter, by the way. It's not 298 pages. So it's leadership and group activities.
Yep.
Can I just provide one?
Yeah,
of course. Cool. All right. So there's lots. And ironically, I'm saying 50, but I could see it growing a little bit. But like I said, it won't be this extensive. Something I learned in the military, and we do it all the time, and it's super, super fun. It's called a KIMS game, K-I-M-S, Keep in Memory System. You get 10 objects. It could be more, it could be a little bit less. You put it on a table. You cover it, say, with a towel. You get everyone around the table and you say, right, you've got a minute to memorize these items. You don't have to say the amount. And you can't talk and you can't use any recording devices. People love pulling their phones out and being all cheeky about it. All right, time starts now. You do that at the end of the minute. You cover it back up and you see what people's memory recall actually is. And that develops the critical skills that we need on a job. There's tons of others. I don't want to sort of let all the cats out of the bag, but yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, you held it up and you showed us some of the images. It's mentioned that there's interactive elements in there. So what's the interactive elements that are in there and why are they detrimental to emergency response teams?
Yeah, so briefly on here. So what I've got is a 30-minute consult. Someone buys the book and I wanted that deliberately to say, hey, look, we're all human. Reach out, have a chat to us. That's absolutely fine. I've combined the book. That's why I'm wearing this shirt and obviously the logo on here. I built a rescue app and that's a free app designed to bring community together to share learn and grow, which, you know, obviously this is a stepping stone for that. Some of the other QR codes lead you to the app itself. You can check that out. And also in some of the scenarios, I wanted to add more, but then my motivation for releasing the book took over and I'm working with the technology to facilitate that.
What's the app? Is that Rescue Connect?
Yeah, that's right. With Rescue Connect, you know, the concept and idea came out of that approximately 2 years ago. Oh, sorry. I released that just under 2 years ago and I had that idea for almost 3 years.
Wow.
Again, it's coming back to working in isolation. And I thought to myself, this might sound corny to some people, but if not me, then who?
Mm.
And I'm going to do something about it. And one thing, can I swear on here or just to keep it different?
Not the senior okay. keyword.
One thing that really, no. Just too Aussie. One thing that actually does shit me and really piss me off about our industry is the level of arrogance and rumors and, you know, this professional pride that masks over people actually being pretty average at their jobs and, you know, pointing fingers going, oh, that person's, you know, does this or that or whatever it is. They're failing to support each other. And again, I'll repeat myself here, probably sound like a broken record, share, learn and grow. The only way we get better at what we do is by sharing content, learning and growing as a team. We actually encourage that as trainers. And then you see some other people that are kind of hoard information. And also the fact that our industry is heavily privatized, it's all basically training companies talking crap about other training companies and people telling war stories about how there used to be a fiery 10 years ago. Like no one cares. It's the same as the army. Like no one actually cares. Sure, you can touch base on that type of stuff, but how are we actually using skills like this to be better functionally?
Yep.
And to come back to the question here, so these QR codes, people can scan it and then it can take them to videos that kind of show them, you know, it makes that picture come to life, so to speak.
Is that on each picture you've done
that? No, it's about, I wanted it to
be. How many pictures are in
there? It's not that many. it's not that many. I think it's about six or so. Like I said, I had a moment in time, an intersection of expectations meeting reality, and I just internally said to myself, dude, just get it out there, see how it goes. If there's a high demand, you can put the additional 148 hours into your QR codes.
That's it, or pay someone else to do it.
Full honesty, there you go.
Yeah, no, I love it. It's such a hybrid product, as we say on the Hybrid Author podcast, because you're taking something that is print and then making it digital as well. It's a mix of things, which is fantastic. Absolutely love it. So who are your target audience? Who do you want to be purchasing this product? Who's going to use it to help each other? Obviously, emergency response teams, maybe in the mining industry.
I'm showing people how to reference the actual guidebook. So it is in here as industrial rescue technicians, emergency service officers, emergency response supervisors, emergency response teams, incident management teams, industrial rescue trainers, industrial rescue committees, industrial training providers, industrial corporate leadership teams, and mining companies.
Yeah.
And the reason I just did that is to show people that it does explain this stuff, but also I didn't want to forget anyone, so thank you.
No, that's amazing. That's really.
There's a book for that.
Well, you've done this now. You've done this process. How would you tackle the next in series differently from this? Would you do it differently? Is there things that you've learned or anything like that?
Don't be afraid to use formatting tools to help you with the book. So when I say formatting tools, I'm talking about AI, guides out there, chatting to people like yourself. You know, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? I'll give you one example. So I was recently sitting down with someone and, you know, I was experiencing this struggle about how to get this thing on KDP, which is Amazon, by the way. You go through this whole process with uploading a book, you have to get ISBN numbers and all sorts of stuff like this, right? Anyway, I get all that sorted and I just cannot get the cover uploaded or the manuscript, which is the actual book content. And I left it for about 3 weeks. And this person just said to me, why don't you speak to some other people about getting help? And long story short, I went on Fiverr, I put it as a job, and within less than 24 hours, my book's on there. So don't be afraid to seek help. If anyone wants to, through the content on this book, reach out to me. I'm more than happy to have that conversation. I'm actually looking to collaborate, as we are already, with as many people in my industry as possible. It's so important. Again, I'm going to sound corny for a sec, probably sound like I've indoctrinated myself, but share, learn, and grow. Otherwise, we just don't advance as individuals or as a community.
Yeah. And so did you always see this as a product you wanted to control? You didn't think about maybe approaching niche sort of publishers or anything like that to produce it for you?
No. Some people told me about it. I think for me, it was more of a, I want to be able to get as much done as I can. You know, who am I? Some people said, oh, you're an author now. I'm like, no. And I don't want that.
Effectively a publisher. Yeah.
No, it's weird. And I don't want to let that become an ego thing. I am bloody proud of this. I mean, as I should be.
It looks great.
But yeah, thank you. I think, I just want to do as much as I can for, you know, learning and developing. Maybe in the future, who knows, but we'll see.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely incredible. And, you know, you've obviously shared so much already. Do you have any further advice to anybody who wants to utilize their skill set, not necessarily in your field, but just in general, that you want to share or to produce a guidebook?
Yeah, don't be afraid to have a crack. I think what's motivating too is journaling and producing content. If you're the type of person that likes writing your thoughts down, then you are your own author already, right? So what if you can write your thoughts down and share it? Then you're an author or whatever. But, you know, there's real value in that. And to me anyway, if you make a book and no one else buys it and you look at that as your own mental trophy in life, like, you know, proud of you, just do it. Who cares, you know? Yeah. I'd rather do that on a, you know, Wednesday night and limit my Netflix to 20 minutes to 40 minutes and spend 2 hours a couple of nights a week doing something like that, because that's life-changing for me anyway. I'm quite proud of it.
Oh, you should be. It's absolutely excellent. And have you ever come across anything like that before, like in that format?
Not in my industry, and that was part of the research I did before releasing it. I'm identifying things that don't exist in our industry and then offering these conduits for people to reach out and then collaborate, connect, share, learn, grow type stuff. So no, I think there should be a lot more of it. And I think the more people that get together and collaborate, if you're watching this, I'm talking to you, let's have at it.
Well, it's all about that, isn't it? Finding a need for what people need and going that way.
Listen, if you're an emergency response technician, a rescue worker in any field, particularly a volunteer or part-time basis, know that there's great people out there that want to see you thrive and grow and that want to support you. So don't be afraid to reach out to those people. If and when you come across the sort of bad actors in our world, just skip over them and connect with people that want to see you thrive. And don't be afraid to do that and constantly work on your skills, because it's places like this and by reading content like this that actually saves lives before the fact. And that's a never-ending journey.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. And you have stated 2025 edition. So are you going to keep updating it? If you're saying you keep evolving, well,
that's the intent behind it. Yeah, again, and that comes with more collaboration and modifications to it. So I'm going to do it myself anyway, stuff it. But collaborating with people to work with them on future content is the whole intent behind it. Because it does, you know, technology changes is one example.
Yeah, that's it. Absolutely. Very fast. How did you find with the AI, like doing the images and all the information and stuff? Was it quite quicker or was it really hard to grasp? I haven't played around with any imagery or any videos, but.
I actually did 2 courses online for AI.
Yep.
Yeah. One was 20 hours. The other one was about 40 hours. Mm-hmm. And learning how to prompt was super important. So like essentially what I'm saying is how to ask the question and then how to refine the question. And then you can re-ask the question several different ways to then create what I needed. Are the images absolutely perfect to what I want? No. Do they hit the mark? I think absolutely.
Yep.
So yeah, that was very interesting working with AI.
And you mentioned like copyright on that. Is that, that lies with you then with the imagery?
Yeah,
is that
that's correct. Yeah. So the images that you take and form become your property because it's original work and it's like, that's mine. So it was super handy.
Yeah.
By the way, it's in the next book, The Leadership in Group Activities. And please try it. It's actually really fun to try. So I supplied an image and then I said, remake this image for me and in the style that you want, a cartoon, a photorealistic image, and it changes it and then it becomes an original work. It was super cool seeing that process. Fun.
Yeah, it's really interesting for sure. I've been incorporating into things, but I haven't played with video or imagery or anything like that. So, Well, I know everybody's dying to know, where can they find the book? Is it, or have you got it online? Are you gonna put it out to bookstores and things like that? Have you got a plan in place?
Yeah, just send us $1 million and I'll send you a copy. It's available on Amazon. Just jump on Amazon, type in 101 rescue scenarios.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Jesse. Congratulations on the book and everything. Your message is super strong. Congratulations. Thank you so much for coming on.
Legend. Cheers.
So there you have it, folks. The amazing interview with the truly insightful Jesse McNeely. He's doing some super important work across collaboration with emergency response teams. You can go and check out his guidebook now. Next time on the Hybrid Author Podcast, we have Anne Vines chatting about her novel Flight, exploring passion and secrets in wartime Melbourne. Anne Vines is a Melbourne-based fiction writer. Her novel The Shipwife was published in 2023. Her short stories have won a slew of awards, including the Borandara Award in 2014 and the Keith Carroll Award in 2020. She was also commended in the Victorian Premier's Literary Award for an unpublished manuscript in 2008 and in the Varuna HarperCollins Award in 2007. She was also shortlisted for the Alan Marshall Award, the Age Short Story Award, and the International Wasafiri New Writing Prize. Anne has worked on both her novels at Varuna Writers' Centre. She completed a Bachelor of Arts at the University of Melbourne in Literature and History and taught in secondary schools and adult education in Victoria and London, which led her to co-write the VCE English and Literature courses. Flight is her first novel. Very exciting interview coming up with Anne. I wish you well in your author adventure this week. That's it from me. Bye for now.
That's the end for now, authors. I hope you are further forward in your author adventure after listening, and I hope you'll listen next time. Remember to head on over to the Hybrid Author website at www.hybridauthor.com.au to get your free author pass. It's bye for now.